Hey veterans, this is Justin with a quick note before today's episode. My guest today runs two websites, The Military Wallet and Cash Money Life, which are both highly relevant to everyone listening. I wanted to give a quick shout out to take a look because finances come up so frequently in these interviews. That's The Military Wallet and Cash Money Life. If you're benefiting from Beyond the Uniform, I know you'll benefit from these sites as well. Thanks and enjoy today's show. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today's episode number 61 with Ryan Ginnaw.
Yeah, you know, but I didn't start it with being a company in mind. I knew it was possible to make money, but I didn't know how or how much. You know, my goal was to make my 125 back. My goal beyond that was just kind of have date money, you know, 100 bucks a month so I could take my wife out to a nice dinner, you know? And, you know, it took 7 months to make my first $100. And then after that, it just took off. And within, I'd say about 2 years, I had replicated my day job income.
Top three reasons to listen to today's episode are, number one, personal finances. Ryan has started and run two companies for the last 10 years, both of them related to personal finances. In many interviews on this show, veterans have mentioned how much there is to learn about finances once you leave the military. Ryan felt the same way, and he's got some great advice for you. Number two, content-based startups. If you're interested in starting your own business or generating some extra money on the side, Ryan is a great role model. He talks about how his side project doubled his personal income within 2 years and how he got there. Number three, honesty. Ryan is very open about his experience, which matches my own experience and many veterans on this show. He talks candidly about the emotional side of finding a new job and making your way outside of the military. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, there are other episodes and show notes with links to Ryan's articles, podcasts, sites, and amazing recommendations for websites and books. There's also a business directory of every resource we featured here on the show and heard about to help veterans. So check it out at beyondtheuniform.io. And with that, let's dive in to my interview with Ryan Ginnaw. All right. Well, joining me today, just outside of Chicago and Elburn, is Ryan Ginnaw. Ryan, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hey, thanks for having me, Justin.
So a quick background for listeners. Ryan is the founder of Cash Money Life and The Military Wallet, two websites that focus on helping people better manage their finances by offering informational articles, tips, tutorials, and products and service reviews. He's run these two sites for over 9 years and been featured on publications including the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and Lifehacker. He started out in the Air Force, where he served for six and a half years as an electrical environmental specialist. After transitioning from the military, he worked at Bearing Point as a management analyst, and then at the Computer Sciences Corporation as a business process modeler. In addition to running his websites, Ryan currently serves in the Illinois Air National Guard. So, Ryan, to start things out, at what point did you know you wanted to leave the Air Force, and how did you approach that decision?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me, and that that intro makes me sound like I know what I'm doing. So, so when did I know I wanted to get out? So when I was serving, I served for 6.5 years, and that half a year is kind of important because I signed a six-year contract, and I extended 6 months because our unit was shy on manning, and they needed somebody to deploy. So I extended 6 months on my contract, and that was my fifth deployment in my six-year enlistment, and I had a one-year special duty assignment, multiple TDYs and training schools and things like that. So I was never home, just to put it mildly. I figured out the days of, you know, deployments and TDYs and all that stuff, and it was almost exactly half the time I was in the military. So that was kind of the push I needed to get out the door. I had earned my degree while I was on active duty. I did a year of college before I joined. I took some online courses and correspondence courses and things like that to complete my degree. And I was looking at becoming an officer, but this was in end of 05, early 06. And the drawdown was just starting to happen. They were actually pushing a lot of officers out toward the door. And at the time in the Air Force, it was easier to become an officer coming in off the street than it was from active duty. And being a C-130 mechanic, I knew we just had a constant rotation going to and from the desert. And I knew if I stayed where I was, I was just going to keep going. So at the end of the day, it was I wanted to have a little bit more stability and really slow down the pace of my life. So that's when I got out.
And what was the starting point for creating Cash Money Life in the military wallet? When was that idea first born?
Yeah, so I got out. I moved across the country to be with the woman who's now my wife. And I got married. She already had a house, so I moved in with her. But she had a mortgage. I had to learn about finding a job, and that was a process. It took me 6 months to find a job, and that's I know obviously that's what you talk about with this podcast, so we can dive into that a little later. But you know, things like finding health insurance and 401k and life insurance, just all these different topics that when you're in the military, there you have one option, right? You have the thrift savings plan. You have SGLI. If you decide to have a house, then you know you can tackle that. But you know, there's base housing, or you can just get an apartment if you move a lot. So there's all these life changes that I was going through, and I just started reading everything I could about personal finance, investing, different stages of life, career, everything. And then I found out this is 06 timeframe. I found some people who had personal finance blogs, and they were just regular everyday people like me who were writing about this. So I decided to start my own site just to keep track of what I was learning, start an online journal, and then can kind of keep it as a reference source for myself, but also to help other people if I could. So I started Cash Money Life first, and then about a year later, I started one for the military. It had a different name at the time, and it's now called the Military Wallet. And I started – by the time I started my site, it was early 2007. So I've been going for almost exactly 10 years now.
Wow. I mean, that puts you in the – what is it? It's like less than 1% of companies that run for that long. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. You know, but I didn't start it with – being a company in mind. I knew it was possible to make money, but I didn't know how or how much. And, you know, kind of a funny story. Before I bought my domain and bought the hosting and everything, I talked to my wife and I said, you know, I don't know how, but I'm going to make my money back. And it was $125 for a domain and 2 years of hosting. So she was kind of, well, I mean, if you want to do it, go ahead. She didn't care about the money, but she just wasn't sure about putting a personal story online. And now look what everybody does. But so I did that. And my stretch goal, you know, my goal was to make my $125 back. My goal beyond that was just kind of have date money, you know, $100 a month so I could take my wife out to a nice dinner, you know. And my stretch goal, I didn't know how I would do it. The stretch goal would be to make my mortgage payment every month so that I would never have to worry about having a roof over my head. I could just, you know, subtract that from my income from my day job. And it took 7 months to make my first $100. And then after that, it just took off. And within, I'd say about 2 years, I had replicated my day job income. So it was just kind of the right place at the right time. It's a lot more competition now than there was almost 10 years ago. But it's been a great run, and we've been very blessed to have this opportunity.
That's great. I mean, there's so many things I like about your story. One of them is that you just started with something you were learning about anyways. And what's that quote where they say, like, the best way to learn something is to teach it to someone? And so, you know, just as you're taking notes, just as you're helping other people, but it's something you're passionate about. And I think for listeners, that's really cool as we dive deeper in this, where it's like, you know, whatever your passion is, there's probably some way that you can make money off of that on the side, and you can help other people in doing it. And then I also like that I like the tangible of saying, like, hey, within 2 years, you're able to basically replace your existing job. But that's one of the things I wanted to ask about, because you were, you know, for those 2 years, I imagine you were still working full time and doing this on the side. What was that like?
Yeah, so I mean that was the hardest part. So my wife was actually active duty, so she was a nurse. So she worked nights, weekends, holidays, kind of the 12-hour shifts, whether it was 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening or vice versa. So there were times where I'd have a few days in a row where, you know, I just would see her for I'd see her for an hour in the morning, or I'd see her for an hour in the evening or something like that. We wouldn't see each other all the time. So I did have some free time to do that. And then, you know, right after we were married, she actually deployed. I mean, 2.5 weeks after we got married, she deployed for 4.5 months. So, you know, there's some time in there where I did have the ability to do that. We didn't have any children, so I was able to focus that time. But that was the biggest struggle, I guess, was trying to find that balance. And I'd stay up late and I would work on the websites, or I try to do some work on the weekends. And that's one of the big things that you have to really be aware of, is trying not to let something overtake your life completely. You have to really try to put some boundaries in there. So that can be a struggle.
That's great. And let me actually back up, because I know that you mentioned at the start that initial job search, and kind of it took time, and that led you, I believe, to Bering Point. I'm wondering, what was that initial job search like? And do you have any advice for other veterans in approaching their very first job out of the military?
Yeah, so the biggest struggle I had was more of the emotional struggle. And that's something a lot of veterans and a lot of people in general won't talk about. So when you're active duty, you know, you serve 4 years, you serve 20 years, however long you serve, that's been your life for the last several years. And wherever you are, you're going to be at a certain level. And I was, you know, I was an E5, but I was leading a shift. So I had anywhere from 2 to 5 people under me, and I would assign jobs and tasks, and I would manage them and make sure they happen. And there was something very tangible. At the end of the day, we saw the aircraft take off, right? So you see the results of your efforts. And to go from that high pace, high action environment where you're constantly deploying, or you've constantly pressed to make the mission happen, to it's like hitting a brick wall, like slamming on the brakes when you're going 100, you know. And I struggle with that from the perspective of no longer having a job, no longer having that being part of something, the part of a mission that's bigger than myself. So, you know, I had money in the bank. I had unemployment income. I wasn't hurting with that. It just it was difficult. And then moving to a new location was difficult as well, because I knew my wife and I knew one other person in the area. So the best recommendation I can have is to really just do everything that you can to get out of the house, join some groups, join some organizations, and try to meet people. The more that you have, the bigger network that you have, the easier it's going to be to find interviews, to learn about job openings, to share who you are. And when people know you, they're going to be more likely to say, hey, come out here and maybe interview for this, or maybe we've got this temp job. So, you know, that was the biggest struggle. My second job, I was already employed, and it was one of my former coworkers had moved to a different company. He said, you know, we have this opening. I think you'll be a good fit. Why don't you put in your resume? And that's because I already had that network in place. So the bigger network you have, the easier it's going to be to find a job.
That's great. And I appreciate your willingness to share and be open and vulnerable about that. And I know that that's the case for most people, especially when you're trading an extremely tight network of friends that's like family. You're changing a location, you know, a job, you know, a career path, you know, finances, you know, like everything, you know. And most people are like you. I was in the same way, where you change your location, you change your network of people around you, you change what you're doing, you change every single thing. And that's a real challenge. And there's also that identity component then of saying, like, hey, I've taken off this uniform. Who am I now? What's my purpose? What am I about? And, you know, and I felt like when I was in the military, I was kind of, you know, left of center and kind of more civilian than most of my counterparts. And even still, it was a big struggle when I got out. And I think it's just that way for everyone. And that's another thing that I like about your sites, though, too. And we'll get into more detail about them. But a common theme that comes up on this show is people talking about, like, yeah, I didn't know about finances. Like, I didn't even know how much value the military was adding in taking care of all that. And then you get out and there's all of these expenses and all of these things you don't know about. And so one of the things I wanted to ask about is when did you make that decision to take that leap and say, hey, I'm going to just work full time on this now?
Yeah. So, again, it came down to the balance between, family and work. So, trying to remember the exact time frame. So my wife and I had our first daughter, and she had colic, right? So she never slept, and it was terrible, brutal experience. I don't wish it on anybody. So she would scream most of the night, and I remember just, you know, holding her, bouncing her as I'm going up and down our stairs. We lived in a townhome, and we had a 2-story townhome in a basement, and we would go from the basement to the top level and down dozens of times every night, just bouncing her, walking with her, soothing music on, anything we could do just to try to stop the crying and the screaming and that kind of thing. And you know, I was just drinking coffee all the time. I didn't drink coffee until we had her. You made it all the way through the military. But then I was drinking, you know, caffeine with lunch, and then I'd come home and have caffeine. I'd try to do my business in the evenings, and then I'd get a couple hours of sleep and just hit the replay button for, you know, 6 months. And then, you know, I talked to my wife and we prayed about it. And I said, look, I can't keep doing both. I can't do the business and I can't do this job. And thankfully, we were in a position where we were good off, well off financially. You know, she and I got married a little bit later. We were mid late 20s, kind of, and we didn't have any debt other than our mortgage. And for a while, we were dual income, no kids. But then I had my business as well, so it was almost like we had three incomes for a little bit, and we were living off of one of those. So we were able to save up a really big nest egg, and we had that really long runway, so that if things went south, I could always go back into the labor market and try to get another job in the civilian sector if I had to. And thankfully, it didn't work out that way. I never had to. So it was not easy. And it wasn't an easy decision, but it was the right decision. I have no regrets.
I love that too, because I think a lot of times people assume that entrepreneurs are embracing risk and just these reckless people. And a lot of the people I speak with, and a lot of the more I read, and from my own experience, entrepreneurs very oftentimes are very risk averse. And I love in your story that you were very smart about this. You built up your savings, you built up a cushion. My wife and I talk about this because she's an entrepreneur as well, of like, we want to always have the freedom to choose what we're doing. And therefore, mm-hmm. we make different decisions financially of saving up money so that we can have that luxury of being able to choose what we do and where we work. And you know, I've heard advice before that I think is pretty sound, which is like, you know, if you're starting something, you want to have almost like a 9-month runway of just having enough, you know, 6 to 9 months where you don't need income, where you can really get something off the ground. And that seems like, you know, in your case, it took 2 years. And in many cases, it takes even longer than that to be generating a decent or significant amount of revenue. And one of the things I wanted to ask about, I mean, I probably should have asked this at the very start, but how would you explain for listeners cash money life and the military wallet and the different things you do there? How do you structure your week? Like, how do you spend your time? If we were to look at a day or a week in your life, how do you break down where you spend your time?
Yeah, that's a super good question, and one that I don't execute as well as I should. So one of the biggest mistakes I made as an entrepreneur was not treating my business like a business from day one. As I mentioned, I treated it like a hobby, and it was a hobby, and I learned to make money from it, but it was play money. It was fun money until it wasn't. It became a livelihood. But I really built in some less than ideal habits, if you will, of not being as structured or methodical as I could. And had I built my site out with a lot of systems and structures in place from the beginning, I would probably be a lot further than where I was. On the flip side, I would also have a job versus a lifestyle business. And there's a huge delineation between the two. Is it something that I want where I can take time off and you know, do things with my family? If I need to take a week off, I can. Or is it something where I need to be in the office 9 to 5 every day because I have a staff? And over the years, it's been a decision to keep it as a lifestyle business. So I haven't been as methodical as I should be. But I'm getting to the point where it's grown beyond what I can do by myself. So I'm actually in the process of going through and trying to hire a couple people here and there to really help with some of the operations that I have. So I don't really have a set schedule. I try to do some things as they come, and I try to have some things planned out. So it's a little bit of a mix in terms of how I decide what I'm going to write. It's a little bit of a mix. Some things are very well planned out, and I try to do those, you know, plan them out in advance. But there's other times where if I get a lot of emails asking the same question, well, then I'll say, hey, I've got to write an article about that, because that's going to fill a need for our audience. And I'll put that out there. And then sometimes that leads down the rabbit hole, and then you do another and another. And then other times it's, you know, when I joined the Air National Guard, I had never had any experience with Guard or Reserves, so this whole new genre of material opened up because I had experience with it, and these were questions that I had. Turns out a lot of other people had these questions as well. So if there – a lot of what I do is I scratch my own itch, or, you know, if somebody keeps pestering me, or if I notice the same questions over and over, then I'll dive in and do that as well.
If you had like a pie chart, and I'm just coming up with three kind of arbitrary buckets, and if sure. I'm wrong on this, correct me, but I'm wondering like if you were spreading your time between creating new content, maybe like mm-hmm. managing emails and corresponding with people, and then promoting the content, like actively growing your audience, what's your typical breakdown between those three, or what would you add to those categories?
So I would add dealing with advertisers, and that's could go under the email as well. But, you know, I'm probably 50% managing email and stuff like that. And unfortunately that's it's not a revenue generator, right? So you don't make any money answering emails, except for those few times where you go down the path and then you sell a private ad or you really engage. But those are not the majority of the emails I receive. So one of the things I try to do is really answer every email that I get that's a question from a veteran, and that's not scalable. So I've got a backlog. I really do try to answer as many as possible, and that's, you know, I do turn those into articles when I can. But I spend too much time on that. I should be spending, you know, more like at least half or two thirds of my time just creating new content and then promoting it. And I'm not. So, yeah. And then dealing with advertisers between the two sites, especially if you're in the financial space, there's a lot of, compliance issues with, credit cards and banks, and they have to make sure the terminology is just right. And it's an incredible time suck. It's not a value add at all, but it's something that they require. So, yeah. And unfortunately, you know, I've done a lot of things right with my business, and for me to be able to do this, I've been almost 7 years full time as an entrepreneur. So I've done a lot of good things, and I've created a good lifestyle for myself and my family, but there's a lot of things I could do better. So, well, here we are.
No, I imagine those words have been uttered by every entrepreneur as well. And I love that thought of just always learning and always growing. So if a veteran's listening and they're excited about this lifestyle that you've created and they think, man, I want to do this. I want to find something I'm passionate about and be able to write and grow an audience. How would you recommend that they start? Another way of looking at that question is if you were starting all over again today, straight out of the military,
yeah,
how would you proceed?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great question. So the barrier to entry is so small. It's actually much easier than when I started. When I started, you know, I'm still on WordPress, which is one of the most popular web-based platforms. It's very easy to install now. A couple clicks on a server and it's up and running. It was a lot more manual when I started, so you had to know more about servers and file structures. And now it's kind of click and go. So that and social media, it's so easy to do videos now and upload them, and computers are more powerful. It's so easy to do images now. There's almost no barrier. And that's a good thing and a bad thing, right? Because it's good because anybody can do it, but at the same time, it's harder to break through sometimes. So what I would do today, or what I would recommend, first of all, unless you've got a long runway, like you mentioned, you're probably going to need a way to make money right away. So I would recommend most people don't get out of the military on day one and say, I'm going to start a website because this guy did it and I'm going to be making money and supporting my family within 3 months. It's probably not going to happen. It could. There's people out there who have done it, but unless you've got that experience and you know how to do viral marketing or some other things, you're probably not going to do it right away. So I would secure your family first, take care of yourself, take care of your family. And then I'd find something you're passionate about. For me, I was learning about taking care of myself, my family, learning about money and investing, and learning about military benefits. And then I wanted to share and help that and help other people. So if you can find a topic that you're passionate about and you can help other people, then you're well on the right path. I think it was Zig Ziglar, and I'm probably going to butcher this quote, but it was the quickest way to reaching your goals is to help other people reach theirs, right? So if you can provide a service or product or anything that's going to help other people, they're going to respect that. They're going to share it. You're providing value. So it's less easy to make a living if you're not providing that type of value to somebody else.
What about what advice would you have for them about growing their audience, of starting once they have that foundation, they've got their WordPress site, they're creating content, they've found that passion. What advice or resources would you point them to about how to start attracting more people?
Yeah, so I mean, everybody says social media, right? Because that's the that's the fix all for everything. Social media is powerful and it is helpful, but you can't just use that as a crutch for everything. At the end of the day, it's going to be coming down to creating quality content that helps people and that people want to share. And if you can do that, then you're, like I said earlier, you're on the right path. The other thing is integrity. And it's very easy to see through certain things. It's okay to make money from your website. I make money from my website. But I won't put anything on my website that I don't believe in personally, or that I wouldn't use, or that I wouldn't recommend for a family member or a close friend. So even if it's not appropriate for me, like AARP, right, for retirees. Well, that's not appropriate for me. I'm not 50 yet. We're older. But for my parents or for somebody who's older, if they had a product, for example, that might be the right thing. So that's kind of the litmus test I use. If it's not something I would use or recommend, then it doesn't go on my website. And I've turned down thousands of dollars of advertising for things like payday loans or loans that specifically target military members. I don't agree with some of those products. They're not right for our audience, so I won't put it. And if you can stick to your guns and really maintain that integrity and focus on helping your audience, they're going to recognize that, and you're not going to turn them off. So do that, focus on being helpful, focus on supporting them, you'll do fine.
That's great. I mean, it is with social media today, it really is like you have a direct relationship with all of your different community members. And it's just like with a friend, if someone gives you bad advice or you feel like they're no longer acting on your behalf, it ruins that trust and it erodes all of that. And so it's great to hear. And I imagine that's tough too, when someone's offering a lot of money to do something you don't agree with, to turn that down. But I love that thought of just maintaining that integrity.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it all comes down to, right? So the Air Force has their core values. It's the integrity first, the very first thing, right? And that's something that I've tried to take with me since day one in the Air Force. And even I had a very long break in service. I got out in 06. I didn't join the Guard until 2 years ago. So there's this huge window of 8.5 years where I wasn't in the military at all. But I really tried to keep those values, even though I was no longer in the military. And being a veteran, I'm sure you keep a lot of your military values close to heart, and you probably will the rest of your life.
What about, you know, in 10 years, which in, as someone would say, in entrepreneur years, that's like 70 years, you know, but in 10 years of running your companies, what was one of the most challenging, what was like one of the hardest times that you went through, or one of the most challenging experiences?
Yeah. Great question. So when I first went full time, that was a big challenge because my time was very limited to, I had to be focused, right? I had the few hours between getting off work and going to bed, or if I took an hour before work. So I had to maintain a strict focus to be able to accomplish things, whether that's writing an article for my site or doing any kind of redesign, outreach, social media. I did some freelance writing at the time. I've also done consulting. But when you go full time, if you don't have that structure there in place anymore, it's very easy to become overwhelmed. So that was a big struggle there, and it took me a while to find my path. The other thing was Google. I rely a lot upon Google for traffic to my website. And 2011, there was a major change. It was called Panda. And anybody who's run a website is very familiar with Google Panda. And it really just changed the way that they rank websites. So I lost about 55 or 60% of my traffic overnight. And I just remember looking at it and seeing, wow, you know. And this was a year after I had gone full time. We had just moved to Illinois now. We're here now. We had just put a, you know, down payment on our house. We were just about to close on our house. I lost 50% of the traffic. It was actually almost 60% of the traffic to my site. And that was very nerve wracking. You know, will this be viable? Can I continue doing this? Will I have to go find another job? It worked out, but it was a very stressful, nerve wracking time. So those are probably two of the biggest challenges.
Yeah, I mean, it's You know, it takes so much courage to do what you did, which is bet on yourself and believe in yourself and be your own employer. And then so shortly after that decision to feel like the nature of the game has changed and the rug's been pulled out underneath you. I imagine that was like just very nerve-wracking.
It was, yeah, certainly.
Yeah, did you think at any point of like, maybe I need to go get another, I need to get a job, or like, was there any like kind of crises of conscience where you thought like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this?
You know, I was nervous, but mostly I was nervous for, you know, like my wife and my children. We had, you know, my daughter was about a year and a half at that time. Cause I had been pro doing it full time for about just over a year. We actually had a really good year that year. So our runway, I didn't really have to touch that. We were able to live off of that income and not really have to dip into any savings. So that initial runway that I had saved up, I still had it all, and we still had enough for the down payment on the house and all that. And it was more along the lines of, okay, you know, our buffer between our income and our expenses just decreased is really what happened. But it was nerve-wracking, and I never felt like I had to go back, but it crossed my mind, and it was one of those things like, how do I tell my wife if I have to, or when should I? And, you know, it's good. You know, we talked about it, and I kept an open dialogue, but it never got to the point where I felt nervous about it, other than just general nerves, never like I have to take action now. Mm. So.
And you've kind of addressed this already, but I wanted to ask about the jobs that you did at Bearing Point and then Computer Sciences Corporation, because you've talked about the importance of having an income, having money, having mm-hmm. savings, and I totally agree with that. I'm wondering if you were to go back in time, or if you were to recommend to a veteran getting out right now, is there any jobs in particular where that might be more beneficial for them? Like, I'm wondering, was consulting a great option where you were making money and learning something that's helped you in your current in running your own company? Or is there a direction you would point people towards of like, hey, this job, you might make money and you might acquire this skill that's going to be really essential for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was an aircraft mechanic, and I wanted to do something different when I got out of the Air Force. So my degree is from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and it's professional aeronautics, which is essentially an aviation management degree. So I had the wrench turning experience. I had kind of a white collar degree, and I wanted to just get out of the working nights, weekends, holidays, working in the cold and the rain and the heat and all that. And I wanted to get into an office environment because I just craved that kind of stability in the schedule. And that's something I had never had. So I really focused on finding that type of a job more so than looking for any specific skills. But it did give me some interesting skills because I worked at headquarters AFMC, which is it's at Wright-Patterson. It's Air Force Materiel Command, which is logistics headquarters. So I was able to work on some data mining and building databases and things like that, doing a lot of Excel spreadsheets. And I learned a lot with Excel and certain tools and learned how to do big picture analysis. And that's very helpful when you're dealing with things like analytics on, you know, Google or your websites. But I wasn't strategic in trying to build something for an entrepreneurship because I didn't have starting a website in mind when I left the military. It started as a hobby. It wasn't intentional. So my recommendation is, you know, for me, I kind of lucked into where I am now. I started as a hobby and I was able to turn it into a business, and it's done very well, and we've been blessed with it, but it was not an intentional movement. So I would look at where you're planning on going, right? So if you have an idea of what you want to do when you leave the military as far as starting a business, then I would try to find employment that's going to be in line with that as much as possible. If you just know that you want to do something with a business, but you're not sure what you want it to be, then I would go with where your interests and your professional skills would take you as far as your job search goes, because that will help you find the job the fastest. And then from there, if you have that stable 9-to-5 or whatever type of job it is, if you've got that stable income, then you can use your spare time to really branch out and figure out what you want to do as far as an entrepreneur goes.
That's great. And And where are you learning from now? I'm just wondering if there's any podcasts or websites or programs. Like, how do you continue to learn as you continue to grow your business?
Yeah, great question. So now I've got a mastermind group. Now, when I started, I didn't know anybody in the space who did this. So I would read, you know, forums and websites and things like that. But now I've got a group. We've got a small group on Facebook that we communicate with. And we also get together once a year outside of just what we're doing. We just meet up in some random city. We've done St. Louis and Vegas and Dallas, and last year was Orlando. It's a lot of fun. Get 10 of us together, and we just talk about our business. What are we doing? What are our goals? What are the tools we use? How can we share? There's a conference I go to every year. It's called FinCon. It's a financial media conference, and that's held in a different location every year. A good friend of mine started that 6 years ago, and that's a great place to go to learn from like-minded people, learn about podcasting or videos or the websites, a lot of Facebook groups, and I read a ton. I read business books. I read websites. I do listen to a lot of podcasts. So, you know, anytime you're going to be in any kind of entrepreneurial pursuit, you can never stop learning. It doesn't matter what it is that you're doing. You're always going to be able to learn something that can improve your business, whether it's marketing, whether it's operations, whether it's hiring people. There's always something that you could do either better or more efficiently, or something that you haven't even tried yet that you don't know about until you start learning about it.
Any particular books, podcasts, and websites come to mind?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm in the digital marketing space. So obviously there's Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income. And he's really good for anything digital marketing. If you're building a website, podcasting, building apps, he's really great on the marketing and the how to and that kind of stuff. Really nice guy, very generous with his time and his knowledge. If you're just learning about entrepreneurship, there's a podcast called Entrepreneur on Fire by John Lee Dumas. He's as good as a very top level. It doesn't dive as deep. So it's more of a get you going for inspiration. I love the Tim Ferriss podcast. His is more of a, I don't know how to describe his, but he interviews people about what makes them tick and some of the tricks and things that they do to have what they've done to become successful. Great. As far as books go, man, I read several dozen books every year. So it's sometimes I'll just, if I can find one or two or three little tips out of a book, then it's worth the price of admission. So those are kind of the top level things that I do.
That's great. And for listeners, I'll add links to all of those in the show notes. That's really, really good advice. I also wanted to bear in mind that you've got this wealth of knowledge around veterans and finances. And I just wanted to make room that, like, knowing that you have an audience of veterans listening to this show, of course, and we'll add notes to show notes for people to check you out on Cash Money Life and the Military Wallet. But I'm wondering if there's any common questions you get or common advice that you give to veterans that you'd want to share.
Yeah. So, we've really got several classes. When you say veterans or you say military, it's really a couple different groups of people. So there's, you know, your active duty members, there's your retirees, then you've got your guard and reserve, then you got your veterans who served and then, you know, didn't retire. That's how I was. I got out and then I later joined the guard. So everybody has they're kind of in a different place. So everybody's looking for different information. The common things that I see from a lot of people, we'll cover veterans first. It's usually about benefits, and it's whatever kind of benefits they may be eligible for, whether that's things like GI Bill or healthcare or something that might be available only on a state level, or maybe they have a problem. So the first thing I would say is go meet with a veterans benefits counselor. There are companies like organizations like the VFW or AMVETS or the DAV and American Legion. They have veterans benefits counselors who will sit down with you free of charge and look at your entire situation. You know, they'll see what kind of discharge rating you have. They'll see when you served and where you served. And depending on all that information, you might be eligible for benefits that you're not even aware of. The VA also has these as well, and that could be things like healthcare, education benefits. There's really a lot of it. Disability benefits is another big topic. If you have any kind of service-connected issue, medical issue or anything like that, just go get it looked at, because there's a possibility you might have some kind of service-connected disability. And if you can get that rating, that opens up certain healthcare benefits possibly for the rest of your life, and it might make you eligible for compensation. So big picture, you are your biggest advocate. So the best thing I can say is always stay interested, always learn. Keep in mind that nobody's going to have their eye out for you like you do. So make sure if you're active duty that everything is correct in your statements in terms of where you served, when you've served. If you're in the Guard or Reserve, make sure your points are correct, because getting this stuff taken care of now while you're still serving is so much easier than trying to make military records corrections requests, which can take months, or you have to provide different supporting documentation. So those are a lot of the things I see, but you know, it's a huge topic and we could talk about it for hours. So I would just stick with that for now.
And I think that the better takeaway is there's a tremendous amount of knowledge here. And so that's why Cash Money Life and the Military Wallet both exist. And so I think that that's a good teaser to say, check that out more and listen to the podcast, because there's a lot to learn. You know, one thing I wanted to go back to, and I'll have to reveal some ignorance here. So you mentioned a mastermind group, and for some reason, yeah, this is like the second or third time this month I've heard that word. Is that a specific program, or is that just a general term to say like a group of people with which you network? And I'm curious how you went about creating and forging that group.
Yeah, so it's the latter. It's not a specific program. A mastermind can be whatever you want it to be. But basically, it's a generic term that means it's a group of people who are like-minded, usually in a similar state. Not state as in physical location, but kind of a similar place in their business. And it doesn't have to be the same business either. But in our case, there's about 10 of us. We're all bloggers. Most of us are personal finance, but there's a couple guys who are outside of the personal finance space. And, you know, most of us have been doing this for 5-10 years. And most of us, our income is at a certain level. So we're all kind of dealing with the same issues. And by having all of us together, we act as a resource for each other, a support for each other, kind of like mentors, although, you know, a mentor could be in any direction, right? So a mentor could be somebody who's, you know, way older than you and has been, you know, a multiple entrepreneur where they've started and sold several businesses, that kind of thing. In this case, it's just friends, and we're friendly. We get together, we share information, we help each other. It's just incredibly valuable. And the more you can network and build that kind of a community, the further you're going to go. And that's just, it's just the support and knowing that other people are going through the same things that you are. It's tremendously valuable.
That's great. And I hope listeners see that trend where, you know, you are constantly learning, constantly growing, going to conferences, surrounding yourself with people who are aspiring. And I think that's so essential on this path when you're forging your own way of constantly learning and surrounding yourself with people who make you better and make you stronger. I think that sense of community is so vital.
Yeah, you have to, because nobody's going to do it for you, right? If you're the start and, you know, kind of the end all be all of your business, you really have to be proactive with that kind of thing. I've just, you know, I aired all my dirty laundry. I've made a ton of mistakes, right? I'm not a perfect entrepreneur, but I wanted to share those mistakes that I've made so other people can see, you know what, even though he has made some mistakes, he's still been able to support his family and build a business and build something he's proud of. And all of that is true. You know, you don't have to be perfect from the start. You don't have to be perfect throughout. You have to do your best, though, and you have to continually grow, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to survive the changes. The web is, in my case, the internet is constantly changing. But if you have a brick and mortar business, well, that's constantly changing too. You look at the different companies out there, like the Amazons of the world or the Walmarts or people who are bringing in manufacturing from overseas. There's always going to be something changing with your market or the competition, or it could be tax laws that changed. It could be always be something. So you need to stay on top of that. You need to be constantly learning and growing so that when these changes happen, you can find a way to adapt. And the faster you can adapt, the more likely you're going to be to survive.
I think that's exceptional advice. Well, I always like to keep the last question as open-ended. And, you know, I've asked a lot of specific questions and you've provided a lot of value. I'm just wondering, knowing that you have an audience of veterans and people on active duty listening right now, anything that we haven't covered either personally or professionally that you'd want to say to them or advice you'd want to pass on?
Yeah, find a mentor. That's a mistake that I made early on. The other is to not be afraid to ask for help. So one of the biggest things I alluded to is that I've tried to do it all myself, and I mentioned that I haven't been as methodical as I could or should with my business. And a lot of that stems from not hiring well and not managing well. And a lot of that comes down to things like systems. I haven't had good systems in place. And I'm creating those now so that I can hire somebody and bring them in, and there will be standards in place that they can follow. And I'm really setting them up for success as well as myself. So if you can find a mentor, somebody that you can go to and ask questions, and if you can have that, I'm okay with asking for help and hiring people, those two things can really help you take your business to the next level. And the faster you can do those things, the faster you can grow your business and hopefully be able to scale that business.
Well, this is great. Well, I appreciate not only your time in speaking with me today and the audience today, I appreciate the way in which you've built businesses that are helping veterans and giving back to the community. And then I just appreciate also the role model you are and someone who went out and built a life and built a business and built a way of being in the world. I think it's really inspiring for people to see the courage that took and that it paid off for you and that you are living this dream that so many of us have of running and owning our own business.
Thanks, Justin. It's been a tremendous blessing to be able to do this for my family, but not only to be able to have the business to support my family, but to give back to the greater military community. It's tremendous. I get a lot of emails and thanks from veterans. And when you can provide a service for other people and make a living doing it, it's incredibly rewarding. So it's been a blessing. Thank you.
Service.
Thanks for listening. As we wrap up, I wanted to share three quick but important announcements. First of all, if you haven't already, please sign up for my newsletter at beyondtheuniform.io. Although I publish on LinkedIn and Facebook, I'll be starting to use the newsletter as my primary means to share new articles, episodes, and resources relevant to the veteran community. Second, I would love to hear from you. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a relationship where I do all of the talking. You can view me as your very own dedicated resource to help you and other veterans in your civilian career. Have feedback on what I can do differently? Let me know. Someone in particular you want me to track down for an interview? I'm all ears. Know of another way that I could help the veteran community? I'm dying to know. You can find me on LinkedIn, comment on any post at beyondtheuniform.io, email me at justin@beyondtheuniform.io, or if you're in the intel industry, I'm sure you can track me down in some super creepy way. However you do it, take me up on it. I thrive on feedback. Lastly, a quick plug for a few resources I think would benefit any veteran. American Corporate Partners and Service to School both provide free assistance to any veteran. American Corporate Partners pairs you with a mentor in your desired industry, and Service to Schools finds a mentor at a suitable undergrad or graduate school program to help you with your application. Check them out. As always, tons of great content and resources available at beyondtheuniform.io. I'm Justin Nasiri, and I'll be back soon with more great episodes.